is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm joined by the fabulous Sarah.
Hello.
Today, I am excited to start off with our first story. if you are in the Midwest or the East Coast, really anywhere that's not where I live, you are probably suffering from the terrible polar vortex that is freezing everything.
We're suffering here, too. It's been, you know, raining.
Yeah, for like 2 days. It was awful.
Actually, it has been raining a lot more than we normally get. But, yeah, it's not really as cold as y'all.
No.
We've got an 80-degree temperature swing compared to some people.
Ugh. I mean, it has been colder here. It's been very, I mean, well. It's
some people
been
are
in,
cold.
Like,
yeah.
The 50s. It'll be
in the 30s in the morning, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like around 7 in the morning, it'll be in the 30s. That's bad. It warms up. The sun comes out. We're not in the polar vortex or in deep snow.
Nope.
But many are, and it's been in just a record-breaking deep freeze for much of the country. It's been bad. But it hasn't all been terrible, because there is a man in Minnesota who has been able to use the polar vortex to his advantage. This man is Uwe Keith, and he is the head... Oh, I'm sorry. Am I looking at the wrong one? I'm looking at a man who's German.
I was like, well, I mean, Minnesota could have some.
That's true. It could be him.
Germans, but.
Don't worry. That's another exciting story coming up.
I was going to say, I'm looking at a man named Tom.
Yes, that does make more sense. So this is about the man named Tom who is freezing some pants in Minnesota. Not just his pants. I mean, he's not wearing them. But they have been part of the phenomenon known as frozen pants. Which
he's reviving this phenomenon, I see in the notes. Go, Tom!
Yeah, I'm very excited for him.
Didn't know there was ever a phenomenon and it needed to be revived.
I mean, we're not in Minnesota, so...
True.
We're not in the polar vortex. But this is Tom Groting, and he has begun the frozen pants movement back in 2013. And that is when another polar vortex came.
Oh, maybe that's when it's being revived from.
Yeah,
so it's
from his past
work. Like the 1800s or something.
Now, this is from his past work. And in 2013, there were sub-zero temperatures. It hit his neighborhood. And when it did, he froze some jeans that he had posed. And then, apparently, other neighbors just kind of followed his lead. Which... You know, good for him. He's a trendsetter.
He posed them. Okay, so we have wet jeans. We froze them, and then we froze them in certain like positions, so they look as though someone just walked out of them or something.
Yeah, they're like standing up, and they're kind of just placed. It looks like he put them in different places in his yard. Interesting, kind of creepy. And then in subsequent years, whenever it was cold enough, the frozen pants would return.
I feel like every year is cold enough in Minnesota. How cold does it have to be to freeze your pants?
I mean, I guess it has to be like polar vortex cold.
Because,
really, really cold.
You know, negative 49 is cold, but wouldn't zero be fine to freeze your pants?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess maybe this is just optimal pants freezing
temperatures. Maybe they freeze better.
Yeah. More stiff in this
more
weather.
More posable.
Yes. also, Groting has said that him and his brother, whose name is John, they started doing this again when they were visiting the opening of the St. Olaf's College new hockey arena. And he wrote to some news outlets in an email. This is what Tom said. He said, "It was cold as cold gets that morning, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to freeze some pants." Of course. So I brought a couple of pairs of Big Daddies in a bucket. He means jeans.
Yeah.
We soak them up and drape them over the signs out front and went into dinner. When we came back, the pants were hard as a rock and the game was starting, so we had to get busy. I love how he describes this. Brother John is a rookie pants freezer and from San Diego to boot, but he jumped right in and pounded on them like he owned them to get the pants shaped up. This is also in an email. He's not just like saying this over the phone. This is like thought out. Like he had a chance to read it over.
Nice.
Tom and John sound fun. yeah. So they froze up some pants in front of this new hockey arena. And the effort inspired him to challenge his neighbors in northeast Minneapolis to freeze their pants if the temperature dropped apparently below minus 20. So I guess that's his optimal pants freezing temperature.
Okay.
He also posted a video on YouTube and Instagram that shows in detail how to freeze pants.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So yeah. If you want to find it, there is a pretty, it's like a video where he shows the whole process, but it's sped up. So you're not just there for the whole thing, mm-hmm. but it's pretty simple. You kind of just like take some jeans, dunk them in a bucket, you know, get them soaked. And then he kind of like put them, it sounds like in this incident, he put them over a sign, but in the video, he's hanging them from a clothesline and just like clipping them. And then over time, he'll come out as they start to freeze and he poses them as they freeze. And then you can see him just like, they stand up. It just looks like someone just walked out of the pants.
Right.
Which is interesting. Also, Groding said people were freezing them all over town, not only taking pictures, but taking them for walks, throwing them in the air and recording the perfect landing.
Oh, I wonder what the perfect landing entails.
I guess when they just land, you know, standing straight up.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So he would just throw them up and they'd land perfectly.
Oh, yeah. There are the frozen pants.
Yeah, you can.
They're kind of artsy.
They're interesting. I feel like I've seen this in California, like gardeners sometimes put dirt in pants and like plant. Oh. Like plants coming out of where the waist is.
I've seen them in boots, but never pants. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I used to go to this interesting garden place that would do stuff like that.
Hmm.
So I could see, you know, frozen pants. It's interesting. Photos and videos have appeared on social media using the hashtag frozen pants.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Don't want to overly complicated
yep.
hashtag.
Yep, it makes sense. Tom Groding has also challenged himself by freezing an old tuxedo that apparently belonged to his college roommate, which I don't understand why he still has his roommate's tux.
Yeah. Did the roommate give it to you? Give it back if you just borrowed it.
Oh, he just, maybe he didn't like the roommate. He just froze him.
Oh,
so there's an image of just a whole tux frozen outside. According to Groding, it seemed like a good idea, but a tuxedo doesn't hold water like a pair of jeans, that's for sure. I love Tom.
Yeah, different material, you know. I can see that it wouldn't hold as much. Jeans can soak up a lot of water.
Yeah, I think the jeans make the most sense. They're also just naturally stiff.
I mean, think of how heavy a load of jeans, if you just throw a bunch of pairs of jeans in the washing machine, is compared to like a load of t-shirts.
No, it completely makes sense.
Yeah.
And the tux looked really impressive. He managed to do it. It looks like someone just got frozen in their tux and then just kind of got like blown out by the wind.
Yeah.
It like the tux is walking and then just stopped
right.
on its own.
And, you know, I can see where he'd prefer jeans because I'm looking at the tux right now. And, well, it's interesting. The jeans are more artsy looking.
Yeah. Yeah. The tux is kind of eerie a little
yeah.
bit. It scares me. If I was at night, I don't know why I'd be outside in minus 20 at night. But if I was, you know, I'm
still sure. Still got to go outside sometimes.
I mean, I'm cold in 50 degrees. I can't even imagine myself in that temperature.
Used to walk to work when it was 20 below.
Oh, God. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. I would be like those frozen pants. That would just be me.
Except that
inside the pants. I wouldn't make it. Also, the fame for Tom, it is fleeting because, you know, there's a season.
Right.
There's a season for frozen pants. But the hashtag frozen pants does continue. And hopefully it will, you know, continue whenever the season permits. It'll be a tradition. Tom also said there is no clear avenue for monetizing frozen pants. His exact quote is, "There is no clear avenues to monetizing hashtag frozen pants, but it's a good icebreaker."
Ha ha, icebreaker.
Oh, Tom. Classic Tom.
Classic Tom.
I look forward to seeing where this tradition may go. Hopefully, there will be some more frozen pants, although I still feel bad for the people who have to live in this temperature. At least something good can come out of it, like hashtag frozen pants.
Right, or, you know, maybe Tom will come up with some kind of crazy summer idea when it's crazy, you know, hot, humid, mosquito-y.
He could, like I was saying, he could plant plants in jeans.
He could.
He could take that up.
Yeah.
Or maybe he could just starch them. Like, maybe. Well, you know, with like, what do you, like people starch doilies. Like that used to be a thing that like, my grandma
yeah.
would do.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of put them everywhere.
Starch or glue in water. Yeah. Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? It could be something.
There's something there somewhere, Tom. You just got to figure it out.
I believe in him. He could do it. More hashtags. And with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news stories.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing on with our stories. This one is not about frozen pants. This is actually about a museum in Germany, but not just any museum. This is a German sausage museum.
Okay.
And the German sausage museum was considering moving to a Nazi camp site, but has reconsidered for reasons that I think should be obvious.
Good. What?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to picture this conversation. Actually, I'm trying not to picture this conversation. I don't want to know.
Yeah,
but you're going to tell me about
it. I am. You're okay. Going to have to listen.
All right.
A German sausage museum won't move to the site of a former Nazi camp because, I guess, obviously, news of the plan triggered some strong criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, can't imagine why.
I can't think of anything that would be appropriate to move to a former Nazi campsite.
Yeah.
Nope. Except maybe a Holocaust museum or something along yeah. those lines. Or
yeah.
memorial.
True.
But nothing
not
else.
Not a sausage museum or anything.
No.
The German Bratwurst Museum was slated to move to an area on the outskirts of the eastern town of Melhausen that was once a satellite site for a larger concentration camp. This drew criticism, of course, from Jewish leaders and others. Again, I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
The head of the association that operates the museum was quoted telling the newspaper, "We definitely won't build there." He told news agencies that the group had discovered the site's history only recently and that they will be launching a complete reevaluation.
Okay, so they found a site, they were like, this is ideal, and then as they were making their plans, then they discovered that it was a former, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that?
I would have thought that would be kind of common knowledge. I don't know, maybe those sites are just less conspicuous?
It was a satellite site, so maybe
True.
It was smaller and didn't
Not
have
as well
like all
known.
The infrastructure and everything that, I don't know, I really don't know.
I guess. Yeah,
maybe
that's still bad
raised.
Research ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. The site had been offered by a private investor who bought it from the German government in 2008. Hmm. Which is also interesting that you would buy that land. I feel like that'd be cursed. Like, I wouldn't want that land at all.
Maybe he didn't do his research either. The government was just selling it cheap, and he was like, hey, there's an investment.
Terrible cycle.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm not sure. But I'm glad they're reconsidering. I would say they should not move there. I don't know what should go on that site. Probably just, yeah, like a memorial.
Maybe a nice garden.
Yeah, yeah. So good move on that museum. Maybe consider, you know, a different place. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
But also a German sausage museum.
Yeah, that's...
Interesting.
Hey, there's a museum for everything, really.
Yeah. Oh, that is true. That is true. Okay, going on to our next story. This is one... this is for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
But yeah, more like a Valentine's Day special. So there is a wildlife center that will name a salmon for your ex and then feed that said salmon to a bear.
There's the same thing with cockroaches and meerkats.
What?
Yeah, they I don't know if it's a zoo or where it is. I saw the headline and then I heard them talking about it on ESPN the other morning when my husband was watching it. And I just briefly heard it as I was walking through the room. Yeah, they'll name a cockroach after your ex and feed it to a meerkat.
Wow, it's
so
a trend.
We are monetizing this feeding your ex to things.
I think it's a pretty good idea. It's funny.
Yeah.
I could definitely see people wanting to spend money on it.
Yeah.
An Oregon Wildlife Center is offering this. It's for Valentine's Day promotions, which is perfect.
It's kind of anti-Valentine's Day, really.
Very. You, like, take your current significant other as, like, a warning. Like, if you break up with me, I'll name a salmon after you and feed it to a bear.
Yeah.
Or a cockroach to a meerkat, which I didn't know they ate cockroaches, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, interesting.
They eat bugs. They are allowing patrons to name the salmon after an ex. It will then, of course, be fed to a bear. And the Wildlife Images Rehabilitation Center, that's the center where this salmon feeding happens. They said, I love the name for this, it's a catch-and-release promotion. They said that it offers a unique Valentine's Day gift in exchange for a $20 donation. The center said patrons can pay to have a salmon named after an ex-lover. The salmon will be served to the brown bears Kodai and Yaki. The Wildlife Images said the $20 package includes a special certificate.
Aww.
And photos of the bear eating the salmon.
Of course, you know, they could take one picture of the bear eating a salmon and just send it to everybody.
I know. But it's not like you really know what your salmon looks like.
But I appreciate it because they need donations for places like this. Mm-hmm. And the bears are going to eat the salmon anyway.
Exactly.
So, yeah, good for them.
Goes to a good cause, which I don't know if I mean... When I say that, if I mean the Valentine's Day cause or feeding of the bears, both are good causes, I guess.
Don't spend your money on chocolate and roses. Spend it on a salmon.
No, I like this. This is a fun anti-Valentine's Day event.
Yeah.
So good for this Wildlife Center and for the other one with the meerkats.
Do you have an ex that you're particularly mad at that you would name something after and have it fed to? I can't think of anybody I'm that mad at.
No, I don't think I would. No.
And I'm not, you know, I just don't feel that vindictive toward any of my exes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I would just donate money just to feed the bears.
Yeah.
I would like to just feed them in general. But I don't think I would be feeding someone, hypothetically, to a bear, in a way.
Right.
But, interesting. Maybe if I did that, I'd be like, make sure, maybe if I was like really mad about it, I'd be more particular about the salmon. You know, like, he had a really protruding nose, you know, right. Like, get me a salmon that kind of reminds me of that, or, like, a particularly ugly-looking salmon, or,
you
know.
Give me a salmon with a weak chin.
Right. Yeah. Salmon who's particularly, I don't know, mean to the other salmon.
That's right.
Or something.
That's right.
Someone who's up to no good. I want a cheating salmon, you know. It's the one I want fed to the bear. Really represent the person. I don't know how specific you can be. I'm not saying that they will do that for you, but... I think it's a good idea. I don't know if you actually have to be at Oregon either. You might be able to maybe do it online or just call them. I'm not sure.
Probably.
But if you are interested, again, that is the Wildlife Images Rehabilitation Center, and that's in Oregon. So, interesting package. I think it's cool. Moving on to our next story. This is not about animals, not about your ex. This is actually about a former president, though, so maybe a different kind of ex.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You beat me to it.
Oh, wow. Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
So this is about an attack on a mannequin that looks like former President Obama. And this was at a Manhattan sex shop. So that brings up a whole other load of questions about why they, well, I'm not going to go there.
Well, I mean,
happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
often mannequins are kind of faceless. They don't usually look like people. So that's interesting that they have kind of more specific mannequins.
Right. I'm also not saying this is like a mannequin that the president like approved of. It just has his likeness, you know.
Or somebody thought it did.
Right. Exactly. I'm not. Yeah. Maybe they didn't intentionally mean to make one. They just maybe had the former president in mind, you know, when they were just making it, but not intentionally. And this happened in New York, and a man is facing charges of criminal mischief for allegedly breaking the front window of a lingerie sex shop store to attack a Barack Obama mannequin.
Was he drunk, high, Or just angry.
Well, I mean, he was definitely angry. Some people have expressed they felt he might have been mentally ill, which would make sense in the situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little bit.
Story.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives another twist to the story. The police have arrested 41-year-old Rewell Altunaga after surveillance video allegedly showed him using a cinder block to smash the window of Romantic Depot, an adult store in Harlem.
Mm.
Yeah. The store manager, Corrine Liu, said she told the news stations she didn't know how to react at first. This is her quote. All we heard was glass shattering. So we looked around like, what is going on? At first, we thought one of the mannequins fell through the window. Then all of us ran outside and we didn't see anyone until we went in to the window and saw a cinder block. Then, of course, they agreed, okay, it wasn't a mannequin. Someone threw it. So we
Unless
started...
the mannequins came to life.
Oh, gosh. Not that movie. She said, so we started looking around to see what it could be, and then we saw a man pacing. So I guess he was just pacing around the scene of the crime, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Turns out the window that was allegedly broken showcased a display with the Obama mannequin dressed as a prince. And President Donald Trump, I guess they had a mannequin that looked like him, dressed as a princess wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Jeez.
Wow, this is definitely a store with some character.
Oh,
so I guess they had a mannequin for, you know, current president and past president.
Yeah, so they probably were making a statement with their mannequins. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I don't think that necessarily means the company that was making them was like, this is going to look exactly like them.
Right.
I feel like they kind of made the mannequins...
Well, the MAGA hat, you know, whether or not it looked specifically
the
like...
The shop was trying to make them look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is an interesting choice of advertisement. Which I guess it got attention, but maybe not the attention
they were looking for. Yeah.
Before we continue with this story, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and you can find out what happened to this store and to their mannequin.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing our weird news story about a man who broke through the window of a sex shop to do harm to an Obama mannequin, or a mannequin that had the likeness of former President Obama.
Right, right.
So this store had surveillance video, and using the surveillance video, you can see the store saw someone yanking the Obama mannequin out of the window and throwing it to the ground.
Aww.
It's also noted that the mannequin that looked like Trump or was made to look like Trump by the store, it was left unharmed. So I guess there were political motivations behind it.
Apparently, yeah.
Altunaga allegedly left the scene, but was followed by a store employee. And that was the store's security guard who was able to run after him and catch him and then turn him over to the police. However... the store employees had to protect the suspect from angry Obama fans.
Oh, goodness.
After they caught him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, it's not a... They said that he was surrounded, and they had to put their... they had to put people around him so that they were concerned he was going to get killed.
This is not an angry mob moment, people. I mean, yeah, he had poor judgment, but it was a mannequin.
I know. I know. And I'm glad the store tried to protect him, even though he vandalized their store.
Yeah.
Also, the store employees said there was a woman trying to kick him in the head.
Oh, jeez.
And they had to protect him because he had damaged the Obama image, and that made people really upset, obviously.
Sure, but come on, violence isn't going to help.
I know. I feel like damage has already been done. It's not like it's going to make it better.
Yeah.
But, And I believe the store owner's name is Buzzetti. And Buzzetti said that Altoonaga was a Trump supporter who kept repeating after he was caught that he hated Obama and that Obama ruined the country. Also, there are other, another employee told news stations she believed Altoonaga was mentally ill. And that he said the Obama mannequin was talking to him. Aww. And he didn't like what Obama was saying.
I hope he gets some help.
I know. It makes more sense if they're saying he was maybe mentally ill. Like,
right.
It's still a bad story, but it I don't know, it makes me feel more sympathetic towards the situation.
Yeah, but it also makes me sadder about the mob mentality. I mean, yeah.
I know.
He needs help, not abuse.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't know, but...
Right.
Yeah, fueled by politically related anger, which is just not good. The New York Police Department press office told the news that the suspect did intentionally damage the store window, causing less than $250 in damage. Although the store owner later told news reports the damage was closer to $1,000, so not what the police said.
Hmm.
Also, Altoonaga was given a desk appearance ticket for March 27th, according to the NYPD press office. And you can watch their surveillance video online if you so desire.
Jeez.
If you decide to you know, watch a sort of sad situation.
Don't have anything else going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so for our next story, I want to go to one that is sort of a happy day for a fisherman, but sort of an interesting happy day. So it's a weird news, so I have to include a Florida man. So we're going back to that state. And this happened in Florida. Authorities have said that a fisherman has reeled in a package that turned out to be filled with up to 60 pounds of suspected cocaine.
Oh.
So this fisherman thought it was really funny. The news said that it was a happy day for him.
Why? I mean, I don't know.
He turned it over to police. Good. But he thought it was really funny. And the sheriff's office said the fisherman was returning to Isla Morada in the Florida Keys when he spotted a bale under a dock. And the fisherman used a gaff and a net to pull the package into his boat. And he determined that it was filled with an unidentified white powder.
Hmm.
Which, if you ever come across an unidentified white powder in any form...
turn it over to the police.
Yeah, please don't just assume it's like flour or I don't know what. Also, I don't know drugs, but if it's in the ocean, is it still good cocaine?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I was wondering that myself.
Like, I mean, I don't feel like
it's not like, okay, I wouldn't know, hey, I just found this windfall of cocaine. I'm going to sell it and make a profit. Okay, no. I wouldn't
really
have a clue.
That wouldn't cross your mind, Sarah? You don't seem like a druggy type.
Even if it crossed my mind, I wouldn't know how to do it. And B, I can't imagine salt water is that helpful.
I know. I can't imagine it's like well preserved or usable cocaine.
Unless it was really well wrapped up.
Right, maybe just the center of the package of the cocaine was still okay.
Maybe it was the drop-off point, and it was waiting for somebody, not the fisherman, to pick it up. So they had a system in place.
That could be. I mean, they didn't say how it was wrapped. Maybe it was wrapped in, like, I don't know, a waterproof material. I mean, it's probably just wrapped in plastic and tape, but you never know.
You never know. I don't know.
But again, if you come across random packages, please don't try and just take care of this on your own, or don't like throw it back. You know, make sure you turn it over to the authorities. Don't, yeah, gosh. Sheriff deputies and the U.S. Border Patrol investigators responded to the call and discovered that the bale contained 25 plastic wrap packages of what is believed to be cocaine. Oh, boy. It's in the ocean. That's not good. There's so much trash in the ocean. The packages were turned over to federal authorities, which is good. That's definitely what should happen in this situation. And according to the sheriff's office spokesman, Adam Linhard, he said, this happens fairly quickly, or fairly regularly, about once or twice every year. Aw.
So, yeah, there must be some kind of
Some sort of drop-off going point. On. Yeah. He continued, we live in the part of the country where it washes up on the Florida Keys. I mean, a lot of drugs, most drugs do come into the country through like boat and things like that.
Right.
Not necessarily just so through they, you land.
Know, they could have just like fallen off or been thrown off overboard, yeah. You know, for various reasons.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. But I guess that's kind of sad that that's so common in the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's not like the drug trade is a happy story anyway. It's all kind of sad.
Yeah.
But be careful out there. Again, if you see suspicious packages with white substances, please turn it over. If you see any sort of suspicious package,
right.
Please go to the authorities. Don't just try and deal with it yourself. Also, the fisherman is very brave that he just took it onto his ship. I don't think I would. I feel like airports have trained me that anything is a bomb.
Well, right.
So I wouldn't just grab it.
Movies have trained me that I'm going to be attacked by, you know, like drug runners in a speedboat.
Oh,
or
yes.
Or something.
Yes, exactly. I will find myself on a high-speed chase.
Exactly.
Under any circumstance. So, yeah, I agree. I also would definitely not know how to participate in the drug trade, nor would I. So that would definitely be going straight to the authorities.
Right.
But I would suggest that for everyone, whether you have inklings to go into the drug trade or not, please, I implore you to go to the authorities. You probably...
That's your PSA for this podcast.
Right. That's what I'm going to tell you all. Just be careful. Turn in suspicious packages to the cops.
In the 80s, it was just say no to drugs. This is that also, but just say no to the whole drug trade.
Right. Just walk away. If you can, please do. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening. And please tune in to the next Weird News podcast.